It's my particular pleasure this afternoon to introduce a profound theologian who's deeply impressed me over the years and has shaped my life in many ways. You may know her for her work on creation ex nihilo. You may be acquainted with her work in theological ethics, animal ethics. This morning's topic will recapitulate a successful course she taught in Duke Divinity School back in the U.S. On the subject of prayer. So this afternoon, I present to you Margaret Adam to speak on the subject of prayer. They had to ask me to do this so there wouldn't be a safeguarding issue.
Does that seem to work? Do I sound amplified?
Yeah, you do. Thumbs up.
Okay. There are some printouts, still some at the back, some larger type than the rest, that just contain specific prayers that I'll talk about as I go in case it's easier to look at them rather than just hear. Okay, I'm going to talk about prayer for a little bit and then a little more about how to pray. This is a big topic. It's a hit or miss. I'm just picking some things that strike me, but I'm not at all intending to give the definitive word on prayer. And I'll just start with the fact that I know that there are lots of problems with prayer. You may have your own. I'll pick up a couple. What's the point? Why doesn't God know everything already? I don't feel like praying. That's a big one. How am I supposed to pray and to whom? What if it doesn't work? What about different translations of prayers? Do they matter? Is prayer selfish? Why pray when someone is dying? Can I pray for my team to win and then be happy if it does? Does a prayer have to be written down by someone else? Or can I make it up as I go along? Or does it have to be in the moment, moved by the Spirit? And what if I don't believe in prayer? I'm not going to answer these questions. But it's important to know they aren't new questions. These are the questions that have filled the minds and hearts of people trying to pray or thinking about prayer for ages. So when we talk about prayer, that's the kind of question that's within the conversation, and you can trust that other people that we might imagine are good prayers have thought or are engaging with these questions. So one of the ways to describe prayer is as a conversation. Sometimes people think about having a conversation with God. The challenge to that is it's not like any other conversation we might have. Usually we have conversations with people who speak the same or similar language. We're on relatively even keel. We say something, they might say something back. But when we talk with God in a conversation, we're talking about we are a being and God is creator of all beings. It's not a sort of even back and forth. But it is a way of sharing what's on our hearts, sort of carefully and intentionally toward God. Even if God already knows, there's a lot, something very different about sharing ourselves. Another way to describe prayer is letting oneself be present. Be present, honest about oneself, receptive, offering up ourselves in all of our vulnerabilities. Often in life, we are not entirely honest with ourselves. This is a chance to be honest with ourselves and with God. Another way to describe prayer is that it's a process of reorienting or reordering ourselves or our community, we're praying together, toward God. It's a way of reordering our identity to be that closer to what we claim it is. So baptized, dependent on each other, formed by each other, reaching toward, and to highlight our priorities that often get kind of confused. So prayer can be opening ourselves up to a realignment of identity and action and desires. Do they fit together? When we pray for someone who is sick, we are naming a person and their needs and asking God's care for them. At the same time, as we name this person and their needs, as we express our desire for their health, we can align ourselves with those prayers, our perception of God's will, and we can direct our actions toward that person as well. So praying toward God, to God to do something, can be a way of reminding ourselves what our priorities are and who we want to be caring for. If I pray that my neighbor's dementia develop gently and allows her continued delights in life, I can remind myself that it really is time for me to invite her out for coffee again, which I haven't done for a while. It's not that I'm identifying myself with God or as God, but that my desires for her well-being, my desires for God's healing hand, whatever that may look like, can remind me to align my own actions and desires toward my part. Prayer expresses desires, but our desires are not always the best. In prayer, we can come to God as we are with our tangled desires, good, bad, worse, confused. We can't hide from God, as God already knows us, but we often forget that we can't hide. This morning, as every Sunday, we had the collect for purity, which begins, Almighty God, to you all hearts are open, all desires known, and from you no secrets are hidden. That's a starting place. And the reminder isn't to God, it's to ourselves to remember we're not individual, private, independent, closed off from the rest of creation and from God. God knows, and we might be sharing, we should be sharing more of ourselves. And that's a starting point for prayer. And then in presenting ourselves to God, honestly, intentionally, in facing God, we do change. Facing God, some of our disordered desires become more rightly ordered. Giving ourselves the chance to be open to that possibility is part of what prayer is about. So again, on your pages, Thomas Aquinas, at least it's attributed to him, prays, grant me grace, O merciful God, to desire ardently all that is pleasing to you, to examine it prudently, to acknowledge it truthfully, and to accomplish it perfectly for the praise and glory of your name. So here's a way of considering and offering our desires and leaving some space for us to consider how rightly ordered might they be. So, to whom do we pray? Well, a lot of the prayers that are already out there have prayed give us good examples. We're praying to God, but it's okay to pray to God as the first person of the Trinity, the one whom Jesus calls Father. It's okay to pray to the second person of the Trinity, who's fully human and fully divine, to Jesus Christ. It's okay to pray to the Holy Spirit. Sometimes we say, come Holy Spirit, fill us. And it's okay to pray to God, the whole, the three, and the one, the greatest, most holiest, the one we can't really imagine very well at all. But each of these prayers, individual persons of the Trinity, to God, one and three, they're all fine. They all address the fullness of God, and they're all a way of that we have of opening ourselves to God. And back to one of the big questions. Prayer is not supposed to work. It's not a transaction. If work means accomplish what we want to happen, That's not what prayer is about. Prayer is not a transaction that can be successful or unsuccessful. It's not about getting God to do something or telling God something God doesn't know. It's more of a request. And requests do not determine the answer. We make a request, it doesn't mean we know for sure we're going to get the answer that we want. It's more of an offering of oneself in truth and in humility to present oneself to God, to recognize we actually don't know everything, we can't accomplish everything, we're beyond our means. So instead of looking for prayer to work, as in give what we're looking for in a short amount of time, it's a bit more open-ended. And God does listen to prayer. At least that's what all the witnesses tell us in Scripture, people of Scripture, the people who claim Scripture as their own, saints and martyrs and all the people in between who precede us. God does listen. Now, when we're frustrated that nothing else seems to be happening, that's actually another way of praying, is to try and listen to silence. To listen in, to let go of distractions, if it's possible, learning not to be afraid of silence. On your sheet, Austin Farrer, a great Anglican theologian, biblical scholar, preacher, warden of St. Keeble's, Keeble College. He writes, to pray is to confront the will of God. It is enough to sit in silence and say, here I am, honestly and truly me, trying not to hide from you, God, open to you and your will. That's not easy. That's definitely enough. And if we can work to the point of doing that, here I am, then maybe we can start to learn to listen ourselves. And that's a big launch into prayer. Prayer comes in all shapes and sizes, silent, with a clearing one's mind, or very wordy, private or public. And various physical positions of prayer are all okay, whether it's kneeling or standing or sitting or lying in bed, or running or showering or whatever it is that one does where one can imagine there's time to make space for prayer. Many people find it's difficult to focus when they're doing something else, so doing nothing else can be a way of being present. And setting aside time for prayer is one way to be sure that it happens. Often we don't make space, but even a few minutes can be something. Extemporary prayers that some people come up with out of nowhere and present, speaking, maybe we think full of the Spirit and capturing the needs and interests of the people right there. That's great. Some people are better at it than others. I'm not any good at it. Many people also say prayers that have already been written, already been prayed for a long time for people across time and places, in part to be praying with others, not just the people here, but all who have come before, and in part to keep from wandering off topic aimlessly, which is a big challenge for prayer. Community worship, corporate prayer, is largely formed of already written prayers, following a pattern, liturgy. They're shared together here and with all those who share comparable patterns and liturgies of prayer. And we have some familiarity. Of course, that can become mindless, kind of just saying words rote without engaging. But it also makes great space for prayer. And the more familiar one is with a prayer, the more one can be, contemplate what the words are, or repeat it oneself, see what space it makes. And then sometimes it seems that we cannot pray at all. And this is very common, even amongst the people we would claim to be, even amongst saints. I think particularly of Saint Thérèse of Lisieux, she suffered from long periods of what she called spiritual dryness, along with her physical illness and great pain. And she wrote, "When I am in this state of spiritual dryness, unable to pray or to practice virtue, I look for little opportunities for the smallest trifles to please Jesus, such as a smile, a kindly word when I would rather be silent. If no such occasion offers itself, I try to at least say over and over again that I love him." And she also shares that that's a time when she returns to scripture and just tries to read passages to herself. So being able to pray is not necessary, or feeling it's easy to pray or comfortable to pray is not the prerequisite for prayer. Austin Farrer, again, "If you could pray when you set yourself to pray, then perhaps you would not need to pray. But you have got to pray. You have got to pray yourself out of prayerlessness. Pray in your insincerity until your prayers cease to be yours alone, and the sun of God's charity has warmed you into life and turned your heart of stone to a heart of flesh. You do not believe in God? No, but neither do you disbelieve. Your belief and your unbelief are insincere alike. Pray your insincere prayer until he who is sincerity and truth overcomes you, until his rays prize open your eyes. Go out and walk in that light, but the darkness will have you again. But you must pray again and be continually reborn." It's very practical, very realistic, very much the life of prayer for many people. If you can't pray, if you don't pray, you don't think it does anything, if you're not sure the point, pray anyway. And in the course of praying, and possibly words that someone else has written, if you can't come up with any yourself, in the process of prayer, things might change. My last note about prayer is that often prayer is about hope, what we hope will happen. And hope is about longing for something that you don't already have, and that you don't know how to get yourself. You know, if you hope to have more cheese in the refrigerator, you know you can go to the store and get more. There's not a lot of hope involved there. But hope for that which we haven't obtained and we don't know how to obtain, perhaps something we cannot on our own obtain, something that seems impossible. Sometimes we pray in hope that God will hear our prayers and answer in ways greater than we would know how to ask or imagine. Even when we struggle to master hopefulness, even in great despair, God is not daunted. God is not diminished. So prayer in the midst of hopelessness, prayerlessness, is still prayer. That's a good idea, that's long precedented, and it can bring about change that you didn't even consider yet. Probably not when you're hoping for it or in the way you're hoping for it. Okay, some thoughts about how to pray. The first answer to that question is always to go to the Lord's Prayer, the prayer that Jesus told his followers to pray and that he tells us to pray, and that we pray at least together on a fairly regular basis, the Lord's Prayer. So here's part of what's happening when we pray the Lord's Prayer. When we start with "Our Father who art in heaven," our Father in heaven, we are naming God as other, not a creature, not one of us, but the creator of all, and we're doing it together. It's our Father. We are the ones who do this. We together in solidarity. whether we're physically together in that moment or not, as the prayer Jesus has given us, this is our prayer, we're in it together. Hallowed be your name. Holy be your name. We call for all of creation to worship God. God is holy, holiest, not ordinary. And we call for ourselves together to demonstrate with our lives God's blessedness, God's greatness, God's more than-ness. So that's who God is. That's the God we worship. And then that your kingdom come, your will be done. We ask that God transform creation into the fullness of God's order and will, the spiritual stuff and the material stuff, more than we can manage on our own. And then give us this day, today, our daily bread. We're asking God for enough to get by, not more, not comfortably more than we need, but this moment. Forgive us our sins, our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass or sin against us. Remember, it's not a transaction. So we're asking God to forgive us, and at the same time, we accept our responsibility to pray for others. It's not a if you do, then we'll do, or if we do, then you'll do. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. We're asking God's protection from our temptations, our tendency to turn away from God. And we're asking for God's rescue when we do turn away from God anyway. And then, for thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, now and forever. Finally, we praise God, acknowledging that all is God's will, all is in God's hands forever, including goods that are beyond our imagination, the things we haven't even thought of to pray for. So that's a start. And if you're tired of the Lord's Prayer, you can take it line by line and use it as an outline for kinds of prayer that you might offer in your own words. Or you can just sit with it and see what silence does. Another classic prayer, perhaps, well, one of the oldest, is simply called the Jesus Prayer. We have records of it from the 5th century on. The desert mothers and desert fathers seem to have prayed it. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on me, a sinner. And this is a kind of prayer that can be said over and over again, maybe more toward contemplation or clearing your mind. Or when my dad had radiation therapy, he hated it, and he would go in saying this and repeat it through the whole time, and felt like it was a way to keep him, to get him through, a way to hold on to what he felt was most important, and to get through something he didn't think he could do on his own. Other ways of prayer, Pope Francis, Pope, maybe both, but the Pope made a big deal about it a few years back. We can discuss it later about, oh, it says St. Francis here? Sorry, Pope. I'm talking about the Pope, who's no longer the Pope. Pope Francis popularized, or meant to popularize, five fingers of prayer. So if you think of the thumb as closest to you, then you start praying for those who are closest to you. Index finger, pray for those who teach and instruct and heal you. The tallest finger, for God's guidance for leaders, governors, and those who have authority. The ring finger, which I just learned is the weakest finger, pray for the weakest, the sick, the people in greatest need. And then the smallest finger, the little finger, smallest of all, then pray for yourself. And at that point, the context in which you're praying for yourself may have been reshaped a bit by the prayers you've offered first. These are all in the intercession petition kind of category of prayer. So it's like we do at intercessions in together in church. It's praying for others. Here's a way to try and remember all the people you'd want to remember. As a child, I was taught another broader five-finger prayer, one finger for each a kind of prayer. I don't know that anyone else does this. I had an odd family, but I'll share it with you because it's what I have to offer. So five fingers, starting with adoration and praise. We see this sometimes in hymns, just glory be God, be to God. God is the greatest, the most wonderful. Praise God and all of God's works. Two is thanksgiving, which is a little bit different, but thanking God specifically for, now you might thank God for creation and the weather and growing things. You also might be thanking God for gifts around you, for you know, some people whose lives are doing better than they were that maybe you prayed for, or for the fact that you do have some food for today. And then confession. So in this prayer, the first time we're really doing something personal, it's confession. And this could be large scale, small scale, what just happened a few moments ago, something that's troubled you from a long time ago, offer it up. And then we have intercessions for others. The kind of, you could stick like another hand in there and do Pope Francis's five prayers there. And then lastly, so personal petitions, asking for prayers for oneself, the things most deeply on your mind. Again, perspective, right? We've adored and praised God. We've given thanksgiving to God. We've confessed. We've prayed for others. Then what do we think is most important to pray for ourselves in relation to all the others? Now, you could spend a minute on this. You could spend 5 minutes. You could spend a whole day if you want to be really thorough. You know, use it as you like or not. My sense is it's probably good to spend at least a minute and try and get a regular pattern of that. But I'm not against all day prayer, especially for other people. Probably the single most rich resource of prayer that's already been written and shared throughout, throughout Jewish and Christian worship and community are the Psalms. So if you're wondering what kind of prayer, what might a prayer look like, you can always go to the Psalms and you'll find a variety and a rich set of prayers already written and prayed. You could also take them as models for, okay, I can't identify precisely with this, but I can think what I would want to say in this way. So for fun, I have matched up my five fingers with some prayers, some psalm prayers that might fit as examples. I'm not saying this is what prayer has to be. It's just for fun, because we're all having fun. So you start with adoration. I did note one place to look is many hymns we sing. But in the Psalms, for example, Psalm 34, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul makes its boast in the Lord. Let the humble hear and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. Okay, that's praise, worship, and something we might not think to bring up ourselves. I know I can easily go a whole day without considering praising God. Or 89, two verses here. Let the heavens praise your wonders, O Lord, your faithfulness in the assembly of the holy ones. O Lord God of hosts, who is as mighty as you, Lord? Your faithfulness surrounds you. And the psalm goes on. It does not suggest there's someone as mighty as God. That's kind of a rhetorical question. But it raises, who's greater than God? Which is nobody. Thanksgiving. In Psalm 7, I will give to the Lord the thanks due his righteousness and sing praise to the name of the Lord, the Most High. Often, praise and thanksgiving go together, but I think it's maybe a good idea to try and separate them out when you can. Thank the Lord because he heard me, because he inclined his ear to me. Therefore, I will call on him as long as I live. Confession, often the hardest. O Lord, do not rebuke me in your anger or discipline me in your wrath. Or Psalm 51, which I think often comes up in Lent. Well, I could be corrected by no correction. Okay. Have mercy on me, O God, according to your steadfast love. According to your abundant mercy, blot out my transgressions. Right? This is the person to be confessing to. Now, I will say, confession being the hardest, it's hard when we do it just with ourselves because it's very easy to skip over things or to be too easy on ourselves. So another thing to consider with confession is to consider confessing with a witness, sharing confessions with someone else. And if you're up for a big challenge, have it be someone who isn't just going to say, oh, it's okay. Anyway, you can pray the Psalms by yourself with other people. Intercessions, prayers for other people. Psalm 20, if the Lord answer you in the day of trouble, the name of God of Jacob protect you. May he send you help from the sanctuary and give you support from Zion. And then may we shout for joy over your victory and in the name of our God, set up our banners. May the Lord fulfill all your petitions. And partly this is a reminder that when we recognize that prayers have been answered, or when it seems to us something is an answer to prayer or someone's doing better, healthier, or however we narrate things, it's good to thank God for that. So not just what problems can you solve, God, but we see that you're listening. And then personal petitions about oneself. Relieve the troubles of my heart and bring me out of my distress. Oh, guard my life and deliver me. Do not let me be put to shame, for I take refuge in you. And you can see, how does that fit in your life? What might be comparable to that? Now, I want to add, many Psalms end with confident thanksgiving and praise. So even some of the darkest, most despairing laments of Psalms usually end with a proclamation of God's faithfulness, whether it's been faithfulness to oneself or seeing that God has been faithful and trusting that God will be faithful. So in Psalm 28, after begging the Lord to respond to his pleas, the psalmist closes with, blessed be the Lord, for he has heard the sound of my pleadings. The Lord is the strength of his people. He is the saving refuge of his anointed. O save your people. You can pray that in the knowledge that God has cared for, heard, and met the needs of other people. There, we have witnesses to that. This is partly why one prays to God. It doesn't mean I'm going to wait until you've fixed what I'm concerned about before I give you thanks, before I proclaim your glory. Okay, there's things about prayers. We have to end? Yeah? Okay, so I added on the end for you to take home or whatever, some prayers by saints, some prayers by people we recognize and appreciate for their faithfulness, their perseverance. So you can try them out. And if you want to know more about the saint and why they might have prayed that, you can read about it. And then also when you get to Saint Ignatius of Loyola, there's one from him. There is an entire school, not like a school you have to go to, but a kind of world of Ignatian prayer. If you're interested in pursuing prayer more intentionally, that's one option to go to. Okay, thank you very much. Thank you.